Israel, joining with you in Lurgan Baptist this morning. I want to thank you very much for the invitation to come along. I want to thank Ronnie for leading the meeting. Our brother Ronnie has this ability to make you feel welcome and to make you feel at ease, so thank you very much indeed for that, brother. We're coming to Joshua chapter 5 this morning, please. The book of Joshua, and I've called the message Somewhere in the Shadows, and what we're going to do is look at people who met the Lord Jesus in the shadows of their difficulty and of their adversity, and even in the calamities and even in the impossibilities of life. I'm sure you all know the little hymn, Somewhere in the Shadows, You'll Find the Lord Jesus. And what we're going to do is look at the pre-incarnate appearances, just some of them anyhow, and the different people who just met the Lord when they needed him most. When the thing was darkest and most difficult, that's when they saw the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's read a few verses here from Joshua chapter 5, please. Joshua chapter 5, and let's read at verse 10. I'm reading these few verses just to lead us into what we want to look at in verses 13 on down. But I want you to notice and just look out for the days and look out for the diet. As you read these two verses here from, well, three verses down to verse 12, let's just look at the diet and look at the days, because these are very significant. Joshua chapter 5 and verse 10. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at even in the plains of Jericho. And they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the selfsame day. And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna any more, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. You'll notice in those few verses that I've already said there's an emphasis on the diet, and the emphasis are on the days or the dates. If you look at verse 11 there, well, verse 10, it says they kept the Passover. You can see that they're feasting on the lamb. It's really the Lamb of God they're feasting on, the Passover lamb. And then in verse 11, it says they did eat of the old corn of the land. So they're eating of the old corn of the land. And then it says that they're eating unleavened bread and parched corn. And then it says the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten. And you and I would fit in there rightly. It's plenty of eating. It's plenty of feasting. And they're feasting on good things. And of course, the truth is that they're going in to possess the land. They're going into to defeat their enemies. They're going to go to the place where God wants them to go. And the truth is that if you're going to go there, and if you're going to stand for God, and if you're going to put the enemies out, then your diet's going to have to be right. You know, the great athletes and the footballers and all these sports people, their diet has to be dead right. And it's the same in the Christian life. If we're going to go in and possess the land, if we're going to put the enemy out, then our diet has to be right. And you can see that all the things that they're feasting on has got to do with the Lord Jesus Christ and his precious word. You remember in Psalm 1, that blessed man in Psalm 1, verse 2 says that his delight is in the law of the Lord. And then his law doth he meditate day and night. Here's a man who's feasting on the word of God. And then verse 3 in Psalm 1 says, and he shall be like a tree. He's going to be strong. A tree that bringeth forth his fruit in the season. He's going to be fruitful. His leaf also shall not wither. He's going to be attractive, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. He's going to be successful, and it's all back down to his diet. And you can see the people, they're going into the promised land. They're going to put the enemies out, and you can see their diet has to be right first of all. And then if you'll notice also, not just the diet there, but you'll notice the days. And this is the wee bit I want you to notice. In verse 10, you'll see the 14th day. That's Passover day, of course. And then in verse 11, it says, the morrow after the Passover, that's the 15th day, that's the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And then verse 12 says, and the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten the old corn of the land, that's the 16th day. So the Passover is the 14th day, Feast of Unleavened Bread is the 15th day, the 16th day, and the 17th day is the Feast of First Fruits, and that's Resurrection Day. And that's what I want you to think about. Look at verse 13. You can see the days now, the 14th day, the 15th day, the 16th day, and it came to pass. And I believe that that's the 17th day. You see, friends, the 17th day is Resurrection Day. That's the day when the Lord Jesus rose again from the dead. He died on the Passover on the 14th day, and I'll not argue with you over the days, but I think it was a Thursday. And you see, he died on the 14th day, And then he was in the grave the 15th, the 16th, and he rose again from the dead on the 17th day. And you can see now that Joshua is actually meeting the Lord on resurrection ground. It's the 17th day. It's resurrection day. He's standing on redemption ground. It's the same day when Mary met the Lord Jesus in the garden. Remember, she was standing on resurrection day in the garden, and she's weeping, and just behind her, there stands the risen Lord Jesus. He says unto Mary, you see, it's resurrection day. And I want you to see now that Joshua is going to meet the Lord on resurrection ground. It's the 17th day. Now, let's look at verse 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and saith unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as the captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship, and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. We'll end there. And please keep your Bible open. We will trust the Lord will bless his word to our hearts this morning. Now, when we read in Joshua chapter 5, we're reading about Joshua, and he's going out to survey the city of Jericho. And it's a real difficult time for him. And what we discover is that he meets the Lord. It's a pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's many of them in the Bible, of course, and the scholars call them a theophany, a pre-incarnate appearance of God, but perhaps a better name would be a Christophany. It's a pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I wouldn't argue over the technical names because I don't know very much about it, but I know that there were different individuals who met the Lord in all their difficulty. The Lord Jesus Christ met them at the point of their need. Some of the brethren in the prayer meeting this morning were praying that the Lord would meet us, meet you, each one of us, at the point of our need. And what we're going to see is that the Lord Jesus came into the shadows, and the people who were in darkness and difficulty, they just met the Savior there when they needed him most. When they needed someone to lean on and someone to depend on, it was then when they met the lovely Lord Jesus Christ. You know in Genesis chapter 3 that Adam and Eve met the Lord Jesus Christ in all their need. When sin had come into the world and they were condemned to a lost hell, it was then the Lord Jesus came and he made coats of skin and he clothed them. You know in Genesis chapter 16 that when Hagar was thrown out of the house and she was gone out into the wilderness and she thought she was going to die, it was there when she met the Lord Jesus Christ who redirected her and sent her back to her master again. You'll know in Genesis chapter 18 that Abraham had a meeting with the Lord. Abraham had received a promise, and he's waited quite a long time, and he's like the rest of us. He'd got impatient, and perhaps he's worried, is this never going to happen? And just then, it's the Lord came, and the Lord encouraged his servant. Now, let's come to Joshua chapter 5. Joshua could testify to the fact that somewhere in the shadows, you will find the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's look here at Joshua chapter 5 and verse 13. And it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, there stood a man over against him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? I'm calling this a time of uncertainty. Joshua is in the midst of a time of uncertainty. Remember, Moses, the great man of God, has died, and the mantle has been handed over to Joshua. He's now the leader of God's people. And Joshua has brought the people over the River Jordan, and he's brought them into the promised land. And we have just read how they kept the Passover. And you can see that they're in obedience to the word of God. They're obeying the word of God for the first time in 40 years. And not only are they in obedience to the word of God, they're getting their sustenance from the things of the Lord. They're feasting on the old corn of the land. And you can see that the people of God are really in good shape. They're in obedience to the word of God, and they're getting their sustenance from the Lamb of God. And that's a good place to be. And yet there's a battle, there's an obstacle to face. Jericho is between them and going into the promised land. And it's a time of uncertainty for Joshua. He has to wonder, how's he going to get around this great obstacle called Jericho? If you look at verse 13, it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, he's making his way out to see this great obstacle. He's going to go out and work out a battle plan. Does he attack at day or does he attack at night? How's he going to be able to maneuver his troops? How's he going to work out a surprise attack? And his head's full of all these things. It's a time of real uncertainty. But before Joshua would ever see the size of Jericho, you remember the archaeologists tell us that the walls of Jericho were at least 90 foot high. And that's a brave height. I've worked up steeples in my time, and the highest I've been up is about 120 or 30 feet. But 90 foot's a good height. And you could see him standing looking at this great massive city, and the walls are 90 feet high. They're about 30 feet thick. There's houses built on the walls, and it's really just impossible to picture how large a place it would have been. It's impossible to picture how big a problem it would have been. And Joshua standing in the place of uncertainty, and it was just then when he met the Lord. Look at verse 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with a sword drawn in his hand. Could you imagine Joshua going out to Jericho, and he's looking at this mighty fortress city, and he's wondering, how on earth are we going to ever overcome this problem? And you would think, well, he's bound to get discouraged. Look at the size of the place. Look at the strength of the place. There's no way that we are going to be able to knock this place down and go forward. Now, you imagine the situation now. You imagine Joshua going out to look at Jericho, and beside him, there stands the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll tell you, it just doesn't look as big when you've got the Lord Jesus Christ beside you. Sure it doesn't. The problem just doesn't seem as insurmountable when the Lord Jesus Christ is standing right beside you. And dear friend, in the shadows of his uncertain day, Joshua met with the lovely Lord Jesus Christ. And I can tell you, friends, that when we're facing the uncertainties of life, maybe you have a problem to face tomorrow. Maybe there's a wee letter lying in the house from the doctor, or maybe there's a problem that you have to face, and you're wondering, well, how in under goodness am I ever going to stand and face that problem? Well, remember this. That as you stand and face the problem, that the Lord Jesus Christ is standing right beside you. One of the lovely titles of our Savior, it's found in the very last verse of the book of Ezekiel. I think it's chapter 48, verse 35. And it's Jehovah Shammah. And I first came across that Jehovah Shammah, but when I was a joiner, I worked with a fellow out of the Gospel Hall down in Cook, where I come from, and I was at a house in the van one morning early, lifting him to go to work, and over the door of his house, it just says, Jehovah Shammah. And I says to him, Davy, what does that mean? He says, go away and find out yourself. Either he wanted me to go and search the Bible, or else he didn't know himself. That's what I was thinking, but I searched it out anyway, and it means the Lord is there. You see, the Lord is there. And no matter where you and I go, I want to tell you the Lord is there. Sometimes we're not there, of course. Sometimes we don't turn up. Our brother was announcing the prayer meeting on Thursday night, and there'll be a lot of you folks who will not be there, I know rightly. But I want to tell you this, the Lord will be there, because the Lord is there. That's one of his titles. And when you go to face the problems of life, remember that the Lord is there. Remember that before Joshua could ever see the enormity of Jericho, he saw the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a difference it's going to make. You imagine looking at the problem on your own, and it's mighty, but imagine looking at the problem with the Lord Jesus beside you, and it's not just as bad as it looks in the first place. And you can see now that Joshua is seeing the Lord, and I can picture him standing there. And maybe his mind's going back to some of the things that Moses had told him. Let me read you a verse from Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 30. Here's what it says. It says, the Lord your God, which goeth before you, he shall fight for you according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. Can you imagine Joshua standing, looking at the problem now? The Lord is with him, and he's standing in the presence of the Lord, and he's standing on the promises of the Lord. The Lord had already said, he said, I am the Lord that goeth before thee, and I'm going to fight for you. And you can see that he's standing in the presence of the Lord, and he's standing on the promises of the Lord. And friend, if you have a problem to face tomorrow, remember this, that you're standing in the presence of the Lord, and you can stand on the promises of the Lord. He says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now, let's look at verse 14. Joshua chapter 5 and verse 14. I want you to see that Joshua now has been in the presence of the Lord. You can see that he's understood the promises of the Lord. And look at verse 14, it says, "And he said, Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord." I want you to see the Lord's presence and the Lord's promises, but I want you to see the Lord's position. If you look at the scene, and I've sometimes in my notes, I just draw a wee picture. I'm not a great artist, but I've just drawn a wee picture. And I have drawn a city that's just a square box, to tell you the truth. Have you seen this? It's not even a square box, it's just a thing. And I have drawn a city, and I have drawn Joshua, and I have drawn in between the city, and in between Joshua is the Lord Jesus Christ. Joshua can see the presence of the Lord, he can see the promises of the Lord, he can see the position of the Lord. Between me and the problem, there stands the mighty Lord Jesus Christ. You remember what the Lord said to Abraham, way back, I think it might be Genesis chapter 15 and verse 1. He says, "I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." You see, if you look at the picture, you can see Jericho, the great problem. You can see Joshua and all his uncertainty. And in between Joshua and Jericho, there is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the shield. He's the shield. He's the protector. He's the one who's in between him and his problem. And friend, listen. Between you and the problem and the uncertainties of life, you'll find that the Lord Jesus is your shield. There's a verse in Psalm 3, in verse 3, it says, "But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of my head." Isn't that wonderful? The Lord Jesus Christ is our shield, he's our glory, and he's the lifter up of our head. In the shadows of his uncertainty, Joshua met with the Lord Jesus Christ. You can see verse 14 again. You can see that Joshua is in the presence of the Lord. He's standing on the promises of the Lord. He understands the position of the Lord. He says, "Look, the Lord is my shield. There's going to be nothing from Jericho ever get near me because the Lord is in between me and it." So the Lord's his shield. Look at verse 14 again. "And he said, Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come." He can see now the power of the Lord. Notice who he is. He's the captain of the host of the Lord. You see, the Lord saying to Joshua, "Look, get your army, get them to stay over out of the road there, because it's my army that's going to fight this battle." I can picture Joshua going back to the camp, and the soldiers are all sharpening their swords and they're sharpening their daggers, and they're getting the stones gathered up for their slings. And Joshua says, "Look, fellas, just forget about it. Don't be sharpening them swords, you're not going to need them. Don't be gathering up any stones for your slings. You're not going to need them." And they're going to say, "Wait, what's going to happen?" He says, "Well, I'll tell you what's going to happen. The Lord's going to fight this battle for us." You see, sometimes we're better just standing back and just let the Lord fight the battle for us. You see, he can see the power of the Lord. He can see the host of the Lord. He can see the mighty power of the Almighty God. And my dear friend, I want to tell you there's nothing too hard for him. Now, look what it says in verse 14. "And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant?" In the time of his uncertainty, you can see that Joshua understood he was in the presence of the Lord. He's standing on the promises of the Lord. He can see the position of the Lord. He appreciates the power of the Lord. And do you know what he's doing now? He's resting in the peace of the Lord. Look what it says there. It says that Joshua fell on his face and did worship. Instead of worrying, he's worshiping. Instead of preparing for war, he's preparing for worship. What a change, friends, it makes when we meet the Lord Jesus in the shadows of the uncertainty of life. He's going out to get ready for the battle, but what he got was a blessing. He got a blessing in the presence of the Lord. Now, in the uncertainties of life, I want to share a wee promise with you. Sometimes when I'm in people's homes speaking to them, I like to read this verse. And if you want to turn to it, go on ahead and turn to it. It'll keep you from falling asleep. Isaiah 41 and verse 10. Isaiah 41 and verse 10. And friends, in the uncertainties of life, I want you to remember this verse. Try and learn it. I might be able to quote it. I might not, but I have it written down here anyway. Isaiah 41 and verse 10. And this is something that you and I can take to ourselves, and we can stand on it, and we can lean on it, and we can rest on the promises of God and the uncertainties of life. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. "Fear thou not, for I am with thee." You see, Joshua could have said, "Well, that's true. I was afraid. I was wondering what I'm going to do with Jericho, but sure, the Lord's here. What difference is it going to make? I want you to see the presence of the Lord that's promised to you. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Now, that's an unconditional promise. That doesn't mean if you have to go somewhere that's really difficult that that promise doesn't work. No, no, that's an unconditional promise. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. It says, be not dismayed, for I am thy God. You can see the promise for you. You can see the presence. You can see the position. He says, I'm your God. I am thy God. My dear friends, God will never stop being our God. Just because you have to face something that's really difficult, God will not say, well, no, forget about that. No. You can see the promise and you can see the position. Then look what it says, I will strengthen thee. That's the power. God will give us power. There's a verse in Philippians 4, verse 13, says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. So you can see the presence and the promise and the position. Look what it says, I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And that's the peace of God. Can you imagine the picture? You're going to face a problem and the Lord is upholding you with the right hand of his righteousness. You can see this wonderful verse. It's, fear not, I am with thee. Be not dismayed, I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. I want to tell you, friends, somewhere in the shadows, you'll find the Lord Jesus Christ. He has promised, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now, let's come to the book of Judges, please. Book of Judges, chapter 6. We're coming now to look at Gideon, and we're not going to get finished. The time is near gone, but we'll do a wee bit in Judges chapter 6. I want you to see that Joshua, in his uncertainty, he found the Lord Jesus in the shadows. I want you to see Gideon this time, and Gideon, well, it's more adversity for him. Just read a few verses here from Judges, the book of Judges chapter 6. And let's look at verse 6. Judges chapter 6 and verse 6. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. This was a real crisis in Israel. It was a time of adversity. Gideon, we're going to see him in real adversity. You look at verse 3, just glance up to verse 3. You see what happened. And it was so when Israel had sown. So when they sowed the seed, when they got the seed into the ground, it says that the Midianites came up and the Amalekites and the children of the east, they came up against them. You'll notice that there were three enemies that came. There was the Midianites, the Amalekites, and the children of the east. There was a threefold enemy came and took away the seed every time they planted it. And you and I face a threefold enemy, don't we? The world, the flesh, and the devil. And very often when we sow the seed of God's word, the world, the flesh, and the devil come and they take it away. This was a time of adversity. Now look at verse 11. And there came an angel of the Lord. This is a Christophany. This is a pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord's coming at a time of adversity. I want you to notice, first of all, and there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak tree, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abrazite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. I want you to see the first thing is that the Lord observes him. The Lord sits down by the oak tree and he just watches him. The Lord's looking for somebody who's doing something. Even though it's a time of adversity, and even though the enemy's against them, and even though they're planting away and they're not reaping anything, the Lord's looking for somebody to do something. So the Lord comes, and first of all, the Lord observes him. He sees somebody, in spite of the adversity, they're pressing on. They haven't given up. They haven't thrown the towel in. He's looking for somebody who's steadfast, unmovable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord. That's who he's looking for. The Lord observes him. Look at verse 12. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him. This is Gideon, of course. And said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. You can see, first of all, the Lord observes him. The Lord's looking for faithfulness, you see. And dear friends, I want to say the Lord is watching. The Lord's looking for faithfulness in a world of adversity. We're living in adversity. And the most unpopular character in the whole world is the Lord Jesus Christ, the lovely Son of God. We've been singing about his lovely names this morning. I'll tell you, he's the most unpopular person in the whole world. This is a time of adversity, but the Lord's looking for faithfulness. You see, the Lord observes him, and then I want you to notice the Lord encourages him. And this is what I'm trying to do this morning, dear friends. Look at this, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. If you were to talk to Gideon, he says, well, that's not how I feel. No, no, I don't feel like a mighty man of valor. I'm just struggling along here. But that's how the Lord sees him. I want you to see that the Lord observes him. I want you to see that the Lord encourages him. And then I want you to notice this, verse 13. I want you to see that the Lord listens to him. You see, what we're going to see in verse 13 is that Gideon's going to have a good old moan. And I think everybody's capable of moaning. I'm sure if you listen to me at times in the house, you'd be saying, he's doing some moaning there. And I would say every one of us are capable of a good old moan. I want you to see that the Lord actually listens to him. Verse 13, and Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us. Gideon says, where's the presence of the Lord? The Lord's only after saying to him, the Lord is with thee. He says, where's the presence of the Lord? I can't sense it. I can't feel it. I don't understand it. He says, where's the presence? Look what it says, verse 13. And Gideon said unto him, O Lord, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then has all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles? He says, where's the power of the Lord? You can see him. He's having a good old moan, isn't he? He's saying, where's the presence of the Lord? He says, where's the power of the Lord? Which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us. Where's the promises of the Lord? The Lord brought us out, he brought us up, and he's just left us. And you can see he's having a good old moan, isn't he? You see, he says, where's the presence? Where's the power? Where's the promises? And then he says, the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hand of the Midianites. He says, where's the protection now? Where's the Lord who said he was going to be with us? And you can see that he's having a good old moan. Do you know what he's really doing, dear friends? Do you know what Gideon's really doing? I'll tell you what he's doing. He's casting all his cares upon the Lord. Now, it's not good for us to moan and complain, but it is good for us to cast our cares upon the Lord. That's what Gideon's doing. Those are the things that are on his heart. He's beating his brains out to try and make ends meet. And every time he sows something, the enemy comes and takes it away. And that's just what's on his heart. He's been honest with God. He says, look, where's the presence of God? Where's the promises of God? Where's the power of God? Where's the protection of God? Because I surely don't experience it. And you can see that the Lord listens to him. The Lord doesn't interrupt him and say, look, quit doing that. He doesn't say, no, what are you talking about? No. You see, friends, the Lord wants us to cast our care upon the Lord. The Lord wants us to be honest with him. The Lord wants us to tell him exactly how we feel. There's a verse in Psalm 55, verse 22. It says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. You see, friends, we need to be honest with God. There's no point bluffing ourselves. We'll not bluff God anyway, but God wants us to be honest with him. He wants us to cast all our cares upon him. And friend, if we're going to succeed, if we're going to get on, if we're going to see a harvest, we're going to have to be honest with God and cast our cares upon him. So you can see that the Lord observes him. You can see that the Lord encourages him. And then you can see that the Lord listens to him. The Lord listens to all his problems. Look at verse 14. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? You can see now that the Lord employs him. You see, of all the people that were in Israel, it was the man who was showing faithfulness in the time of adversity that the Lord calls into his work. It seems to me that there's only one person doing anything. Gideon is out trying to make ends meet. He's trying to get fruit. He's trying to get food. He's trying to get a harvest. And that's the person that the Lord calls. If you want to be involved, dear friends, you need to show a bit of faithfulness. You need to show faithfulness in times of adversity. And that's the time the Lord's watching. And that's the time the Lord's enlisting. And that's the time the Lord's employing. The Lord employs him now. Look at verse 15. And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least of my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee. The Lord enlightens him. The Lord says, I am with thee, verse 12. The Lord says, surely I will be with thee, verse 15 or 16 it is. You see, friend, there was a promise for today, and there's a promise for tomorrow. The Lord says, I am with thee today, and I will be with thee tomorrow. The Lord enlightens him to the presence of the Lord day by day. And then look what it says, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And you can see now the Lord assures him. The Lord says, you're going to win. My dear friends, I want to tell you this, that we are going to win. Believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter how adverse things might be, no matter how bad things might be, we are on the winning side because our Savior, Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, is coming. And our Savior is coming to take us out of this old world, and he's coming to take us to heaven to be with himself for all the countless ages of eternity. You see, friend, in the shadows of his adversity, Gideon met with the Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe you're feeling the adversity. There's not much to encourage today. Sure, there's not. There's not many people getting saved, and there's not many people being added to the assembly, and there's just not much to encourage the people of God. But I want to tell you, the Lord's looking, and the Lord's looking for faithfulness in adversity. And the Lord's employing. If you want to do something, I'll tell you, the Lord will employ you. And the Lord ensures us. He says, thou shalt smite Midian as one man. I'll tell you, the victory's already ours. And if you're feeling the adversity, if you're feeling discouragement, remember that the Lord Jesus Christ is with you. Remember that the Lord Jesus Christ has promised that he would never leave thee nor forsake thee. Remember the promise for today, the Lord is with thee. Remember the promise for tomorrow, surely I will be with thee. And no matter what adversity comes, we can guarantee ourselves in the presence of the Lord. We were going to take, the time has gone, we were going to take time to look at Elijah. And if you read it when you go home in 1 Kings chapter 19, you'll discover that Elijah, in the time of his calamity, in the shadows of his calamity, he met with the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we were going to look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I can't just remember the Hebrew names at the minute. But they were in the place of impossibility. They were in the fiery furnace, and nobody ever escaped the fiery furnace. But remember Nebuchadnezzar looked in and he said, did not I cast three men bound into the fire? Lo, I see four, and the fourth is like unto the Son of God. You see, in the shadows of their impossibility, they met with the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to Hebrews chapter 13, just to finish, please. Hebrews chapter 13. Because you might be saying, well, that's good enough for them. That's Joshua you're talking about, and that's Gideon you're talking about, and that's Elijah, and that's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but what about me? Well, here's a promise for us, dear friends. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. You see, that's for us. That's a promise in the New Testament for believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at it just for a minute. It says, for he hath said. You can see that this is undeniable. He hath said. This is something that the Lord Jesus has said. You see, the word of God, it says in Psalm 119 and verse 89, I think it is, that thy word, O Lord, is forever settled in heaven. So this promise that the Lord's making to you and to me who are saved this morning, it's undeniable. The Lord has said, for he has said. And then look what it says, for he has said, I will never leave thee. And you can see that it's unconditional. It doesn't say, I will never leave thee if things are going well. No, it says, I will never leave thee. And it's unconditional. Even if you're backslidden, I want to tell you, this is still for you. Even if you're unfaithful, it's still for you. Even if you never darken the door of the prayer meeting, it's still for you. You see, this is an unconditional promise. It's not how much faith we have or how spiritual we are. This is for every single born-again believer, young and old, in the whole universe. God has said, the Lord Jesus said, I will never leave thee. It's undeniable and it's unconditional. And then it says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. It's unmistakable. You couldn't mistake it. He reiterates it. He says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And it's really the same thing. But he wants us to not mistake it. It's undeniable. It's unconditional. It's unmistakable. Verse 6 says, so that we may boldly say the Lord is. It's unstoppable. It'll never say the Lord was. It'll never say the Lord used to be. It happens to say the Lord is my helper. So it's unstoppable and it's unbeatable. I'm sure you've had people helping you that were really in your road. There's nothing worse than somebody in your road, isn't there? And this is why I like to do things nearly myself, because somebody's always in your road. And when you turn around, they stand in your road. But friends, I want to tell you, this helper will never be in your road. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is unstoppable and it's unbeatable. And then it says, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. It's unshakable. You can't shake the fear into us. And you can't shake the fear, the peace out of us. If we would take this promise on board, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. May the Lord bless his word to all our hearts this morning. Just remember, friends, that somewhere in the shadows, you will find the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's just pray together and then we'll sing a closing hymn. Our Father, we thank you.